but that's the old me. Shouting out, my window's rolled down, 'cause I don't care anymore, said I don't care.
Let's go. News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. Should say welcome to Let's Go Pensacola. Obviously, you are not welcome back since we're just starting the show for this week, but welcome back in the general sense if you listen every week. We're glad to have you back to the show. If you're listening for the first time, we're glad to have you here for the first time. My name is Julio Diaz. I'm your host. We are going to bring you up on lots of what's going on in entertainment and pop culture, including a healthy dose of Pensacon, since Pensacon is upon us. And joining me to do so, please welcome from the Pop Culture Analyst channel on YouTube, Jeremy Branch.
How you doing, man? How you doing?
I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off, to be completely honest with you. I've got, as you know, I am, in addition to being the host of this show and a few other things I could name, I am part of the executive staff for Pensacon. So we are very much in the home stretch, and or depending on when you listen to this, maybe right in the middle of it, because this show, I will be frank with you folks, if you listen regularly, we're going to be a rerun next week for Pensacon. So if you're hearing these words again, it's because we're in the middle of Pensacon. But
I kind of like having you in the pressure cooker, Julio. I don't know what it is. I don't know what that says about me, but just knowing that you are getting down to the wire and that you were burning the candle on both ends and that you had to squeeze this radio show in amongst all of the other chaos that it has, I think it just makes me feel measured and leveled by comparison.
It's not a feeling you're used to, is it?
No, man. Normally I'm in the weeds. So thanks for having me today. Like you said, we're going to try to touch on several things because we are going to do a couple weeks of shows all at one time. So there's a couple of news things that I wanted to touch on. And it's been a big week for the action star in more ways than one. I guess first I should say RIP to the great Carl Weathers, known for many, many iconic roles, not the least Apollo Creed from the Rocky franchise. He was in Predator. He's in Happy Gilmore. Just an iconic presence, and definitely Action wanted to acknowledge his work before we got too far into things.
Action Jackson, and of course, more recently on The Mandalorian.
Played
a major role on The Mandalorian, and you got to wonder whether what they're going to do about that character. It's not such a major character that they couldn't work around him not being around, but still, it's just a bummer. Just the guy's an icon, and I hate to lose somebody like that. And the other thing I always think about with him is maybe not the most obvious thing, but he played a version of himself on Arrested Development. He was Tobias Bluth's acting coach as a version of himself. And he'd always say, there's a lot of meat left on that bone. You throw that in a pot with a little stock and some vegetables, baby, you got a stew going. that line is just, it just cracks me up every time. He was so good in that. Not that he wasn't good in everything that he did, but when he passed, I know I posted on Facebook, and the last thing I said is, wherever you are now, Mr. Weathers, I hope they got a stew going.
That's right. Absolutely. If y'all are listening to this in podcast form, leave us some of your comments for some of your favorite roles, maybe memorable lines that have stuck with you over the years. I kind of try to keep things clustered together so that as we do these segments, they have some sort of cohesion. And while we're on the topic of the action hero, I think it's pretty undisputed that Rock the Dwayne Johnson is probably one of the biggest action stars of our era, huh?
Rock the Dwayne Johnson?
Yeah. That's how I lovingly refer to him.
I think that's what we should call it from now on, Rock the Dwayne Johnson. I like it. Or just the Dwayne for short.
Oh, I like that too. Yeah.
obviously one of the biggest box office draws around right now, despite Black Adam.
Very likable, I feel like. I feel like he had a great reputation just as being a generally cool dude for a long time. I know a lot of the listeners probably don't keep up with WWE in the same way. I know you don't keep up with WWE in the same way that I do.
Just but in the most broad sense, more than anything. Yeah, like, yeah. I could tell you who fought, you know, on the last edition of Raw or whatever.
Sure. Yeah. This particular story, I feel like, has permeated culture in a way that I feel like we had to bring it up, because we do talk about pop culture. And recently, we did mention on the show, The Rock kind of joined the board over at Endeavor, which owns WWE, and has taken on a lot of responsibilities. But in this merger with Endeavor, it was agreed upon, at least with the people on the board, maybe not the creative team at WWE, but the people on the board, that The Rock was going to be going against his cousin, Roman Reigns, at WrestleMania 40.
I didn't know they were cousins.
They are. And,
like real-life
Roman
cousins
Reigns
or kayfabe cousins? Like real-life cousins or kayfabe cousins?
Real-life cousins.
Okay.
So they all come from this huge dynasty of Samoan wrestlers that have gone back for generations and generations. And the Bloodline storyline has kind of always omitted The Rock because he's been busy with his other careers. But this has been a thing that's been building for a long time. Is Roman Reigns really the quote-unquote head of the table, which is kind of a kayfabe way of saying he's the biggest star. He's the person that allows the rest of the family to eat. Everybody kind of always knew, like, The Rock's actually the head of the table, so fans have wanted this to happen for quite a while. However, in the meantime, there's this guy named Cody Rhodes. He's, like, the biggest babyface of the WWE. He's been on a storyline.
I'm assuming another legacy there. I'm assuming related to Dusty Rhodes.
Absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And so he has become the biggest babyface in the company. He was supposed to face off against Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 40. So when it was announced that he was going to be basically forfeiting the match in order to let The Rock fight this match, The Rock, I believe, and a lot of the people at TKO Holdings thought that this was going to be beloved by all the fans, but Rocky Sucks became one of the biggest chants at those episodes of Raw and SmackDown after the news. He did a press conference where he essentially got booed off the stage. People are not having any of it because he inserted himself up into this storyline.
So you're
it's
saying that
crazy.
You're saying that the hierarchy of power in the WWE did not change?
So the hierarchy, it's all been chaos. It's all been chaos. But this is just really interesting stuff. I'd like to circle back around to it as WrestleMania becomes a thing, but I just wanted to mention it to people. If you have feelings on it, we'd love to hear them, Julio. I'd love to get you to kind of check this out in the meantime. But I find it to be really fascinating that the tide seemed to be turning on this guy. And I was wondering if you think, like, the DC universe had any hand in that.
I don't know. I think this is kind of a specialized situation. I think that you have wrestling fans that are upset because the storyline they were enjoying got interrupted. I don't think that necessarily affects the broader appeal of Rock the Dwayne Johnson. I think I think that he's still a pretty popular and well-liked guy out there. I don't think you can really pin everything that went wrong with Black Adam on him either. I think I think you can pin the I'm going to come in and be the man on him a little bit. And I think there was a little bit of tarnish for that. But do I think that people are not going to go see the next Fast and the Furious movies? No. I think,
Yeah.
And I think there was legitimate excitement about, after all of the noise about him being out of the franchise, him then surprisingly showing up at the end of the most recent Fast and the Furious movie. Even though that movie maybe didn't do as well as some of the other Fast and the Furious movies, I think given that they're building to a conclusion in that franchise, I think that it's still going to do well. And I think that he's still going to be an in-demand presence in movies for some time. I have no real doubt of that. I think he's generally a well-liked guy. I think this is just the wrestling crowd's a different crowd than the larger crowd. You know what I mean?
I do. And that's a big question mark that I have is, like, does the WWE core audience really matter? Is the better decision to appease them, or would it have been to give this massively broad appeal match to the casuals in hopes that they would continue to watch?
Well, we'll see how it plays out. We got to take a break. We'll be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line from the Pop Culture Analyst channel on YouTube. And if that song doesn't make you smile or move or whatever, you know, if it doesn't bring a smile to your face, that either you're just not a 90s kid or you are dead inside, one or the other. Of course, the theme from the classic 1982 to 1997 X-Men animated series. And there's a good relevant reason to be playing that right now. And that's that the X-Men are coming back. We've been hearing about this for a long time. And we got a lot of Marvel news to talk about. So we're going to talk about a lot of Marvel news here in this segment. But just starting with, there had been an animated series announced kind of like at the dawn of Disney Plus, called X-Men 97, that was meant to take up from the original X-Men animated series, pick up where that left off in 97, and continue the story. And it was announced, and then we weren't getting a lot of news about it. And, you know, it was, yeah, it's still coming. You know, yeah, blah, 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 blah. It's been a couple years. All of a sudden this week, boom, dropped a trailer, and double boom, announcement that this is going to be out in less than a month. March 20th, coming to Disney Plus. So very, very excited about that. A really cool trailer dropped this week. And Jeremy, how are you feeling about it?
Yeah, I mean, you touched on a couple of the things that really stood out to me. And that is, I honestly didn't realize, Julio, until just now, that 1997 is picking up exactly where the old one left off. The year that the old X-Men was canceled, we're picking up from there. The theme is iconic. It absolutely one of my favorites from childhood. I was probably 10 years old, you know, 11 years old when this series started airing. It corresponded almost exactly with when I picked up that run of X-Men comics, and the 90s comic book boom happened. So a huge part of my fandom goes directly back to this X-Men animated series. A couple years ago, we had the pleasure of meeting the creators of X-Men animated series, and I actually hosted the panel. Eric and Julia, I can't remember their last names right now, but they were wonderful. Anyways, thought they were super great. I'm excited about this new series. The animation style, the costumes, everything is keeping it extremely true to the original. So I'm stoked, Julio.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, obviously the animation looks a little cleaner because it just should, because this is being produced, you know, literally 20 plus years after the original one. You know, so I would hope that it would. Not that the animation looked bad in the 90s. I think that series still holds up really well. If you check it out, I believe you can find it on Disney Plus. And just, you know, they brought back a lot of the iconic voice actors from the original series. And this trailer really does just pick up from where it ended. So very interested to see the series, and I'm interested to see how it's going to play out within the larger Marvel Cinematic Universe, because I think it's gonna. I don't think this is happening in a vacuum. I don't think this is happening off in its own separate corner. I think this is leading to what we've been building towards with Secret Wars and the multiverse, et cetera. I think we may have already seen this universe in the MCU. I think the Beast we saw in the cutscene in the Marvels, I think that might have been this Beast.
Sure, looks a lot more similar than previous. That's a good point. And, you know, this isn't even all of the X-Men news that we have to discuss in this segment as far as Marvel goes.
No, I mean, speaking of bringing these characters into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, we got the other trailer, and by far the bigger trailer that we got this week with it dropping during the Super Bowl, is the trailer for what we now know is not called Deadpool 3.
But yeah, that was news to me. I was going to ask if you knew that the title for the movie is Deadpool and Wolverine.
No, that was dropped at the end of the trailer. Nobody knew that before that. So,
very cool. Okay.
Now, I think it makes sense. I think we all knew. I mean, first of all, we all knew that Wolverine was going to be in the movie. They've been teasing that for some time. Wolverine's such a big character. You know, Wolverine did helm, aside from being in the X-Men movies, also was the star of three solo movies.
Wolverine is to Marvel maybe Spider-Man is to Marvel. For this comparison, I'm going to say Wolverine is to Marvel what Batman is to DC.
I don't think that's an unreasonable comparison at all. You know, he's just such a major character to Marvel. And, you know, I also think you didn't get Hugh Jackman back to just be, you know, supporting player to Ryan Reynolds.
You know, right.
I think equal billing is kind of necessary there. So I think the title works. The trailer looks great. It's, you know, the same irreverent sense of humor that we've had out of Deadpool, commenting on what's going on right now in the Marvel universe. And to the extent that at one point he declares himself Marvel Jesus. And it's just such, like, they know that, like, they've had some missteps lately, and they're really counting on this movie to kind of restore the luster of the Marvel brand, which is not being helped by Sony churning out absolute garbage movies that have the Marvel brand on them. Yes, Madame Web, I am talking about you.
Yikes.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but 14% on Rotten Tomatoes and people talking like putting this in the same category with The Room. No, this is not what we need to be doing. So,
this moment in time that I realized I actually want to see Madame Web. Thank you for bringing that to my attention.
You know, I get that, and I don't disagree. Like, the worse that people are coming down on this movie, the more I've seen it compared to things like The Room and Cats, the more I'm like, oh, I got to see this train wreck.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at the same time, I don't want to give them money and make them think it's okay to keep doing this crap.
I mean, this is the studio that re-put Morbius in the movie theater because people were making fun of it on social media.
And apparently this is even worse than Morbius, if you can believe that. So,
yeah. Oh boy.
Yeah, but I digress. You know, the only proper Marvel Cinematic Universe movie we are getting this year is going to be Deadpool and Wolverine. It's got a lot of weight to carry on its shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I think it's got it, and I'm kind of wondering, yeah, I know we're going to be pulling Deadpool out of his movie universe, but here's my question. What Wolverine are we seeing? Yes, we're seeing Hugh Jackman. But we're seeing him wearing a costume we've never seen him wear in the movies. We're seeing him wear a costume that looks an awful lot like the one from the X-Men 97 animated series.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Again,
good point.
Are we now bridging that animated series into live action? And are we just using the actors from the Fox franchise to play these versions of that character? Are we seeing this version of Wolverine? Are we seeing Kelsey Grammer playing the animated series version of the Beast rather than the version he played in the live action movies? I don't know the answer to that question. We could absolutely be seeing both. We do have a whole big multiverse thing going on here. The end game here, I think, is integrating all of these characters into the same universe. And if you're going to do that, if you're going to do that, I think you want the most iconic version of the characters. Whether we continue the actors from the Fox universe or not, because I kind of think for the most part we're not going to. Like, I just don't see Hugh Jackman playing Wolverine for another 10, 20 years.
No, well, if this was the case, they're proposing that the X-Men team is made up with people who get senior discounts at Denny's or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. it's not the X-Men, it's the AARP men. Yeah. You know. You know, looking very much forward to that. And then the other big Marvel news this week, which also ties into the whole Fox thing, because it's more characters that had been wrapped up in Fox having the rights to them. And this time it does not appear we're given any kind of wink and a nod to any past Fox movies because, well, they weren't good. So let's just ignore them.
No.
And that is, we got the announcement, the official announcement of the cast for the Fantastic Four movie that is going to be coming out in 2025. Which is,
and this is big news because this has been a point of speculation in our community for years. We've all been fan casting who was going to end up playing the new Fantastic Four. So to see the actual lineup, that was big news to me. That's just exciting, and I like who they got.
Yeah, it's been kind of floating around in the fan press for some time that this was the rumored casting, and the rumors did completely wind up to be true here, which must mean that Grace Randolph had never said it. We have as Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic, none other than the Mandalorian himself, Joel from The Last of Us, our man Pedro Pascal. Very exciting. The internet's daddy is going to be the daddy of the Fantastic Four. So that's
and you like that?
I do. I'm a big fan of Pedro, and I think he's going to do a great job in the role. I did like John Krasinski and his cameo in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, but obviously we're going with a different version of the Fantastic Four, and I'm good with that. I think Pedro is going to knock that out of the park. I think all of this cast is going
to... I have to admit, I wouldn't have looked at Pedro as the casting type for Reed Richards, but now that they've shown it to me, I'm like, yeah, absolutely.
And then as Sue Storm, none other than Vanessa Kirby, who's the star played Napoleon in Ridley Scott's Napoleon movie. She played Princess Di in The Crown. She's in the Mission Impossible movies. Yeah, great actress. And again, somebody I think is going to do very, very well. As the Human Torch.
They're casting older than I would have thought, but I love Vanessa Kirby. I think she's fantastic. Her and Pedro Pascal are older than I would have expected, but as actors and performers, they're both fantastic, perfect for the roles.
Absolutely. And then the casting I think I find the most interesting out of all of them, as Johnny Storm, the Human Torch, none other than Eddie Munson himself.
Kind of surprising. What's this guy's name?
Joseph Quinn from Stranger Things.
Okay.
Very. Uh-huh. I think that's great casting, and I'm looking very much forward to that.
Yep.
And then somebody that you'll be more familiar with than me, playing Ben Grimm, one of my favorite Marvel characters, the ever-loving blue-eyed thing, Eben Ross Bachrach from The Bear. Am I saying his name correctly?
Sure. That much I couldn't tell you. In fact, I wouldn't have known his name if I didn't see this casting list. I just know that I love Cuz on The Bear. I haven't seen him in anything else, but the amount of vulnerability and emotion that he's able to bring to that role in the show, I really think if there's somebody that can do a mocap performance that's really going to be emotive despite not having a lot of the facial characteristics and things that you would associate with a character either in CGI or heavy prosthetics. I feel like he is a really good character for the role. I don't have a lot of connection to the character. I'm not super familiar with him, so I hope that he gives you the portrayal that you want. As far as the actor himself, I think he's great.
Well, we're going to be looking forward to all of that. We've got to take a break. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line from the Pop Culture Analyst channel on YouTube. And Jeremy, as we have mentioned at the top of the show, Pensacon is upon us. And I thought we could spend some time talking about, we've already talked a bit about the things that you and I do at the con and some of the things we enjoy about the con. But I think one of the things that get people the most excited about this convention is the variety of celebrity guests that come to the convention. And I thought maybe we could touch on some of the people that are coming to the convention this year and that we're most excited about and that we think maybe some other folks will be very excited about as well. And
you believe that people are more interested in the guests than they are our administrative duties behind the scenes?
I think that most people are. I'm sure there are some people.
If you're not in that camp, I'm sorry.
I'm sure there are some people who, it's cool that Ron Perlman's coming to town, but I want to know more about how you organize the media relations team. Everybody's got their thing that they're nerdy about. There are probably more people that are nerdy about Hellboy and Sons of Anarchy than are nerdy about, the behind the scenes organization of a major comic convention or a fan convention, but there's somebody out there. It's like shout out to them. It's like the I hesitate to bring this up, but it's like Rule 43. You know what Rule 43 is, right, Jeremy?
No, I do, but I want you to say it. No, either
you know or you don't know. If you know, then you know. Right. And if you don't know, then you can Google it. But make sure you have safe search on. That's all I'm saying. Coming in with one of my favorite TV themes of all time from one of my favorite TV shows of all time, the theme from Buffy the Vampire Slayer by Nerf Herder. Played that because, of course, we do have two of the big stars from Buffy the Vampire Slayer coming to Pensacon this year. Very, very excited about that. James Marsters, first of all, who played Spike on both Buffy and Angel. A very key character, very, very much an anti-hero character. Eventually starts out as a villain, but eventually becomes a more anti-heroic character. Just a great actor and a great performance. And of course has been in a number of other great things. He played Brainiac on Smallville. He had a memorable role on Torchwood. He was on Runaways. He was in the Dragon Ball Z movie that some people enjoyed. Just a tremendous career. And somebody that we've had people asking for years and years, and we've actually had him booked a couple of other times in the past, and he unfortunately ended up not being able to make it. So it's looking good that third time is the charm, because he is on the schedule, and we're looking forward to seeing James Marsters here at Pensacon for sure. And then also from both Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel, started out as a supporting player on Buffy, and then when they spun Angel off to his own show, she was basically the female lead on Angel, and that's, of course, Charisma Carpenter, who played Cordelia Chase. And, also another actress that's done a lot of great things, went on to roles in Charmed and Veronica Mars, and in the Expendables movies, in which she played Jason Statham's girlfriend in those movies. So, again, an actress who's done a lot of great stuff, and caught a glimpse of her in person fairly recently. She still looks really great. So looking forward to seeing her at the show. And that's just Buffy's one of my biggest nerddoms. So that's one that is very near the top of the list for me. Anytime we can get anybody that had a key Buffy role, I'm excited to see them. So looking forward to that. Jeremy, why don't you give me one that you're particularly excited about?
Yeah, I'm looking at the list right now. I could literally throw a dart and hit somebody I'm excited about. We were talking a little bit about WWE in the beginning, and I know Mike Inslee has got to be chomping at the bit because he got several great guests from AEW, which I'm unfortunately just not as familiar with. However, there is a legendary WWE wrestler that's going to be in attendance, and that is Cactus Jack, Dude Love, Mankind himself, Mick Foley. I love this guy. I actually lived in a town called Navarre where he owned a gym, so I had regular interactions with Mick. I haven't seen him in probably 20 years. He would bring his kids into the movie theater and we would talk around the time that original animated Pokemon movie was out. But regardless of like the personal connection, which you probably will not have any idea who I am, but regardless of that, he has just been one of the most iconic wrestlers to ever put his body on the line for the entertainment of fans. He did spots where he got powerbombed through the top of the cage in a Hell in a Cell match by The Undertaker, onto a pile of thumbtacks, like any crazy spot you can think of. Mick was willing to do just to give the fans a show, and I'm a huge fan, so I can't wait to get a chance to talk to Mick Foley.
Yeah, and I think, Mick Foley is one of those people that I think kind of transcends wrestling at this point. That's where he made his bones, and that's where people know him from first and foremost. But he really has become a pop culture icon and a best-selling author, too. He's written a number of books, both memoirs, and I believe he's written some children's books, too. So, and somebody who's also become almost as famous as kind of just a humanist, for lack of a better term. Yeah. He's somebody who gets out and is a real advocate for being kind to people and for being a fan of things. He's become, you know, a very noted fan of the musician Tori Amos, and has been one of her big supporters, and also had some really great things to say on social media in the last week or two about Taylor Swift, where, you know, he's like, you know, all these people are coming down on this woman. You need to know what a good person she is, and told about some personal interactions that she had, not with him, but with a friend of his, that he's never met her in person, but the things that she did very quietly for a friend of his family. You know, again, this, it becomes this kind of thing where, not to venture off into Taylor Swift territory, as becomes very easy to do, but, you know, this seems to me like a woman that's just out there trying to do good in the world. And
yeah, I like all of this about Mick Foley. I haven't heard it, but the fact that he's a Tori Amos fan, I love that for him. The fact that he's written children's books, like, all this stuff is news to me, but I absolutely love that.
Yeah, absolutely. So Mick Foley is definitely somebody that I think a lot of people are going to be excited to see, and not necessarily all of them will be wrestling fans, although I think the bulk of them will definitely be wrestling fans. So yeah, anytime we can have somebody of his stature, that's always cool. I mentioned.
Who else do you got? Who else are you excited about?
Well,
seeing?
You know, I mentioned Ron Perlman in passing, but, you know, this guy's just a complete icon. Yeah, he was a Hellboy in the two Guillermo del Toro Hellboy movies, but also is just like part of Guillermo del Toro's repertory company, more or less. He's been in so many of Guillermo del Toro's movies. Not just the two Hellboy films, but Pacific Rim. He did a voice in Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. He was in Nightmare Alley. He was in Blade 2. He was in Kronos. You know, just take the body of work that he's done with Guillermo del Toro alone. It's absolutely incredible. Now, you throw on top of that, first of all, Sons of Anarchy. Massive fan of that show. And he's such an integral player in that show.
I got to watch it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You absolutely do. It's such a fantastic show. So you got that. You've got the 80s, early 90s Beauty and the Beast series, where he was the Beast to Linda Hamilton's Beauty.
That's a throwback. Yeah. I don't think about that one, but that's a good call.
I mean, and then just, you know, he's just done so much other stuff. And then you put all that aside and just look at the voice work that he's done. I mean, Clayface in Batman the Animated Series, Slade in Teen Titans, which is just iconic. You know, he's done a bunch of video game stuff. He's done a bunch of animation stuff. He's just done so many interesting things.
So last year, the dude's a goat. The antagonist in the series Poker Face, and even more recently than that, he is in Mr. and Mrs. Smith, the Donald Glover created Amazon show. So he pops up everywhere.
Oh, I didn't even know he was in that. Yeah, I've been hearing so much buzz about that. Haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but
it seems cool. I watched the first episode and was even more excited to realize that Perlman was going to show up with a role in it.
That's all. Yeah, I mean, the guy's a goat. It's that simple.
Yeah, absolutely.
So super excited to be seeing him at PensaCon. And of course, most of our guests will be here all weekend long. Ron Perlman is a special situation. He will only be here Saturday and Sunday. So if you're coming out specifically to meet Ron Perlman and you're only able to come one day, make sure that day is Saturday or Sunday, because he will not be here on Friday. Of course, you can get tickets and more information at pensacon.com. We've got all the information you need up there to get you all set and going and get you taken care of. I encourage you to buy your passes in advance if you're able to, because you're going to save a little bread, have a little bit more bread to spend at the show for stuff from the vendors or autographs or photo ops or even just something to eat from the food vendors or you know, something like that. You're able to save a little bit of money, because as of 12:01 a.m. on Friday, that price does go up again. We've got to take a break. Back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line from the Pop Culture Nihilist channel on YouTube, and we are getting hyped up for Pensacon. It is upon us, and talking about some of the guests we're looking forward to seeing at Pensacon. And no, Madonna is not coming to Pensacon. I'm sorry to break it to you. Unfortunately, we'd love to have her. Madonna, if you're listening, you know, give us a call. We'd be happy to have you out. If you just want to come and enjoy the show, I'll give you a pass. You know, I know you could probably afford one, but I'll give you one because I'm just that kind of guy. But somebody who was in that music video and been in a lot of music videos actually as a dancer before she became better known as an actor is somebody that Jeremy is very excited to see at the convention this year. And who is that, Jeremy?
So yeah, Sophia Vitella is going to be at Pensacon this year. You know, say what you want about the movie The Mummy, but I do not think that any of the blame can be attributed to Sophia Vitella, who I think put in the exact performance that she was supposed to. She's also appeared in movies like Kingsman, The Secret Service. She was in Star Trek Beyond, though. I mean, she was in makeup, but that is definitely her in Star Trek Beyond. She is in a movie that I really like by, I think his name is Gaspar Noé, and the movie is called Climax, and it's about dancers. So talking about fandoms and different things that different people are into, I wouldn't even necessarily say it's her filmography that I am the most interested in when it comes to her. She is just a brilliant performer when it comes to dance. And Julio just now played the Madonna song. She's kind of doing an impersonation of Michael Jackson in the video Hollywood Tonight, which came out right around like 2010 era, you know, very late career Michael Jackson. But she's just so good in that video. And if you check out, just, you know, YouTube her name and watch some of the dance videos that come up, she's amazing. She's in a Foo Fighters video. She pops up everywhere, but if you haven't seen any of her acting work, I would definitely recommend checking out Atomic Blonde, which she has a role in, and then Climax as well, both really good movies.
Well, I think she brings that physicality from her years as a dancer into her acting, for sure. I mean, if you look at her role in Kingsman in particular, which was her breakthrough role, there is so much physicality and movement to that particular part. And she's playing a character who has the Blade Runner kind of leg. So she's actually having to play a character that is able to make moves that humans can't really make, and she's doing it.
Yeah, that's a good call.
You know, so I mean, yeah, incredible in that. Incredible as Jayla in Star Trek Beyond. Appears in a lot of Matthew Vaughn's movies, and I'm in general a big fan of Matthew Vaughn. Of course, I think the thing that we're not mentioning here that I think a lot of people would have seen her in lately, which is a lead role. She is the lead actress in Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon, which I know a lot of people have watched on Netflix since it came out at the end of last year. So, I definitely think that she is somebody that there's going to be a lot of excitement for, and I don't know that we're her first con, but I think we're one of her first few cons. So I'm hoping that that we can show her a good time and
awesome.
Everybody will be as excited to see her as we are. But yeah, great actress, great dancer, and definitely somebody very cool that, you know, you don't just see at every show that I'm pretty excited about. I think another one that is another guest that we're having this year that is somebody that a lot of people have been asking for over the years and that I've personally wanted to see for a lot of years, even though I'm maybe not a fan of the show that he's probably best known for, is Mark Sheppard. I think that the people get really excited about him because he was Crowley on Supernatural, which was a show with a huge, huge cult following that ran for, I think, 947,000 episodes. And was on for literally 240 years. maybe not quite that long. I might be exaggerating just a little bit, but I'm not exaggerating by that much. The show was on for a long time, and he's very popular for that show. And then also very popular for another show I haven't watched, Leverage, which again is a show. And it's not necessarily like the nerd show, like you think, like a lot of you think of Pensacon, you sometimes think of like the more nerdy properties first. Leverage isn't the most nerdy property in the world. It's, you know, it's a legal drama, but again, that has a very big following, and he had a big following on that. But for me, it's been stuff like Badger on Firefly. It's been stuff like Romo Lampkin on Battlestar Galactica. He has been in Doom Patrol. He's been in Doctor Who. He's just one of those guys that kind of shows up in everything and is always good in everything. And just somebody I've really looked forward to meeting for a long time. And I know there's a lot of people excited to see him at the con this year. And I count myself amongst that number.
There's so many people that I want to like shout out by name because there are people that I have been fans of their work for a very long time, like Kelly Maroney from Night of the Comet, and just from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, 100 different things that we love from the 80s and even more recent stuff on Shudder. She's great. She's going to be there. But the one that I really want to mention while I still have time is Joe Dante. I mean, Joe Dante is one of the most prolific filmmakers of our collective era, of somebody who worked primarily in the 80s to 90s and is really a big advocate for the horror genre now. Like, you'll see him in documentaries where he often does talking head segments, because the guy just loves movies and he loves to share his knowledge and his enthusiasm. But Gremlins is top of the list, probably my favorite Christmas movie. And, He's awesome filmmaker, and I'm really looking forward to a chance to directed, say what's up to Joe Dante.
Directed both Gremlins movies, directed Inner Space and Matinee and Looney Tunes Back in Action. And
Matinee was fun.
The Burbs and Piranha 2. No, the original Piranha, excuse me, not Piranha 2, Piranha. The original Piranha.
The Howling is one of my favorites. It was actually James Cameron that directed part two. But yeah, The Howling is one of the best horror movies one of the best werewolf movies that isn't American Werewolf in London, which we also have two of the stars of that as well. So it's a great year for horror fans.
And of course, you know, Joe Dante got his start, like a lot of filmmakers of his era, in the Roger Corman factory, basically. Kind of in the trenches there, and was also involved with pretty much my favorite Roger Corman movie, and a movie that we have another actor from here this year as well, that being Rock and Roll High School. He co-wrote the story on that, and also uncredited was basically directed a few scenes in the movie when the director of the film took ill. So we have Joe Dante, and then we have, of course, Clint Howard, part of the Hollywood legacy family, the Howard family. He is Ron Howard's brother, son of Rance Howard, uncle of Bryce Dallas Howard. You know, of course, played Eagle Bauer in Rock and Roll High School. But again, just such a career. We're talking about, he's had roles in 5 different Star Trek series, including most recently was just in the most recent season of Strange New Worlds. He was the star of Gentle Ben as a child. He's been in a bunch of his brother's movies. He was in The Water Boy. Just an actor that just shows up all over the place. And
unmistakable.
Just somebody that, again, is somebody that I've been wanting to see come to the con for a long, long time. And very, very excited to see him here. And to have him here and Joe Dante here, as I said, I'm just a huge fan of Rock and Roll High School. I actually have a copy of the soundtrack album that I've been slowly gathering signatures on. So I've got, of course, Marky Ramone and PJ Souls, who have been here in the past, already on there. So I'm looking forward to adding Joe Dante and Clint Howard to my signatures on that LP this year.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Just can't say enough there. You know, speaking of Star Trek, you know, I think we've got a lot of interesting Star Trek guests this year. We mentioned Sophia Boutella, who of course was in Star Trek Beyond, but also Andrew Robinson, who is just an iconic character on Star Trek Deep Space Nine. He played Garak, who is just like one of the most interesting and intriguing characters in the entire Star Trek universe.
And if I may, horror connection, he was the father in the original Hellraiser movie. So another horror legacy actor that's going to be there.
And before that was the first villain faced by Dirty Harry. He was Scorpio.
Oh, yeah.
He was Scorpio in the first Dirty Harry movie. So
That's right.
Yeah, great. And then the voice actor Fred Tatasciore is going to be here this year, who has done a ton of things, but I think most recently people will know him for playing Lieutenant Shax on Star Trek Lower Decks, which, as you know, Jeremy, is my current favorite Star Trek series.
So yeah, I did know that.
I'm very, very excited to see him come to the show, and I'm not afraid to say it. I'm going to ask him to call me Baby Bear, because that's Lieutenant Shax's thing. When he takes the lower deckers under his wing, the ones that he likes, he calls them Baby Bear. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to ask for a Tatasciore to call me Baby Bear. I'm not afraid to say it.
Well, we'll see if you get a Baby Bear by the end of the weekend. You might have to earn it.
Yeah, well, that's true. I might have to earn it, but that's okay. I'm okay with that. So, of course, we always have a big group of Star Wars guests, and we do this year. We have a lot of voice actors from Rebels, from the Clone Wars and the Clone Wars microseries, a few live-action actors as well. We haven't even touched the surface of the guest list with people like Vicki Lawrence and just so many great people. So check out PenceCon.com for more information. We hope to see you at PenceCon. We'll see you here on this show in the future. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.